Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am live here at Trailhead Community. We're going to be pulling off an amazing gala tonight. And I always start these type of podcasts and say, boy, some of the days can be long, but the years are always short. And I didn't look it up, but I'm just going to say, let's call it a year or two ago, I was doing a podcast at the Nuts and Bolts Conference where it was literally a couple of days before, maybe I think the day before, Matt McMullen calls me. He's like, Devin, you got to get down here and you got to do a podcast. This is like not your typical conference. This, like, this group of people are passionate about IDD. And I'm like, what's IDD? And you have those people stop you in your tracks. Like, I just realized it now that I look and I see Barb sitting there smiling at me on the table in the picture was the one that she came in and made this whole thing come to life at the conference. And she's looking down on us tonight as we're here to say we're open. I'm live sitting here at the Trailhead Community. We're looking at all these great people setting up for the gala tonight. And we're going to talk about the good, bad, ugly in construction. Tonight we're going to celebrate the good. But unfortunately, construction, you're only as good as your last project, right? And sometimes that's a real challenge, right? And so the thing that I'm going to just be, we're going to celebrate tonight, and I look back and I see this wall that I looked at the website earlier today of all the people and the companies and that got us here to actually put that plaque on the wall. And then we ask the question, how do you operate after you open the doors? So what is next for the Trailhead community and the Trailhead board and the Trailhead development? That's the part that's really, really challenging, but it's really, really fun if you look at it the right way. So my perspective is that I'm here as the Art of Construction, just as Matt McMullen says, just trying to run between the raindrops of the construction world. As Matt McMullen has been my mentor, and he's here mentoring a lot of people, part of the board, to where we're here as our call to action to say is, how do we help get the second, third, continuing these things on, right? And we need different people aligning and putting the public and private sector together. And it's these type of galas and awareness is why I'm honored here to be in the corner of this amazing event and kicking it off to have as much fun as possible with my co-host, Matt McMullen. What's your perspective for this?
There's a lot of pressure with you calling me your mentor. So, hopefully I'm doing an okay job. No, it's great to be back. And literally it was October of 2023 when we went down to Cheyenne Mountain Resort, which was where the Nuts and Bolts Conference was. And folks flew in from all over the United States, including one woman from Thailand, came in to see what was going on in the IDD space. So yeah, tonight is just a celebration. I mean, God bless Barb. It was her vision and others that made this thing happen, and we miss her a lot. So I'm going to talk a little bit about perspective. So how do you learn from others, right? Like, there's the Grove at Cottonwood in Broomfield, which Broomfield Housing Alliance is working on right now. There's the Kelsey in the San Francisco Bay Area in San Jose, and there are others, you know, that are trying to, like Trailhead, you know, we're working on some other things. We got some stuff in the hopper we can't talk about much. But really what we're trying to do is integrate with other organizations. So we've been doing a lot of tours through Trailhead now that we're open. We opened in October of last year, of 2024. So we've had the Alliance down here. We've had Danny Combs, you know, with TACT, who is the head of the Colorado Disability Opportunity Office. And others, just trying to walk people through, show them what we were able to create and how we're running it, and to meet some of our residents.
Yeah, and to jump in there, I was just on a call with Danny the other day because we were touring another facility where he's trying to get TACT and all the stuff he's doing. And And the moral of the story is you just got to keep screaming from the mountaintop, right? And we all got to keep these voices going and learn from the mistakes, but break through the ceiling together. So I'm super honored to be here. And Matt, can you introduce tonight's MC for the event and the guy that's going to guide us along and pull in some different people from cameos and past podcasts and past stories to help us all break through the ceiling together?
Yeah, so, you know, you were able to call him James. He hasn't allowed me that privilege yet. I have to call him Mr. Harper. So I'm going to introduce Mr. James Harper, who the connection with Trailhead for me happened when we were at the First Place Phoenix.
That's right.
And that was in 2022.
Yep.
Down there with Denise Resnick of First Place, who I always say she's the Mother Teresa of autism. So without further ado, I throw it over to James Harper, Mr. Harper, to introduce himself.
All right. Well, let's first start with the speed round where we kick this thing off to ask a few questions that the listening audience that listen regularly gets to know James a little bit. James, what's your favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage is an iced Americano from anywhere.
All right. Well, let's talk about the favorite place you've traveled.
Favorite place that I've traveled, Managua, Nicaragua, and Masaya, Nicaragua. Good old Latin America.
Awesome. Give us one story from that.
I have a lot of stories. If you ever go to Latin America, you'll end up with a lot of stories. Probably the best one is just having to navigate, you know, good old taxis and broken Spanish, which we were able to do. And I did get water poisoning for 5 days my first time there, climbing a volcano. So
there you go. Well, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos? We're going to talk about not breaking down, but breaking through here at Trailhead that we passionately call the art of construction.
You know, I think my favorite hobby is honestly just connecting and coaching. So this is my 21st season coaching soccer. I've coached soccer at all levels, competitive, high school, and now I'm coaching a U7 team of my son. I thoroughly believe in my retirement years I will be a high school soccer coach. So coaching and just teaching people is probably my passion.
Are you teaching them not to touch the ball with their hands unless they're the goalie?
No, I'm teaching them to win, Matt. That's what we're... that's
what. Awesome. Well, we're excited to hear your story that led you to being a leading a skilled team in Latin America, specializing in virtual recruitment, placing top-tier remote talent for the U.S. companies, and a host of a leadership podcast driven by freedom, family, and legacy.
Yes, sir. It's a good old, I guess, bio that everyone has to have, but ultimately, I'm a serial entrepreneur. Right now, I'm currently doing a lot of virtual placement for a lot of in-home service and trade companies, whether it's virtual operations and recruitment. But at my core, I'm a connector. So I think like my core being is getting people in the room that's much smarter than me and being able to navigate conversations. So I guess professionally, that's what I do. I don't really know what I do, if I'm being honest, outside of bringing smart people to the table and putting them in the same room.
Well, good for you.
Your superpower, man, really is about the connection and the networking.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, you heard our perspectives. James, what's your perspective for this podcast journey we're going to go on tonight and emceeing this event of saying the doors are open and people are coming in, and I see the people that are, you know, that are living here looking at us in their new home. What a cool experience.
Yeah, very cool. One, thank you to both you, Devin, and Matt for just being here to celebrate with us tonight, and honestly giving us a really good platform back in October 2023. That was more impactful than Art of Construction probably knows. We actually got multiple people that were not in our sphere of influence or community reach out to us, and so really appreciate people like you guys being involved, because at our core, Trailhead community has really grown from a grassroots perspective. Mm. People like Art of Construction saying, you know what, I think this needs to be heard. How can we help? So cool. Now that we have a building open, a good mentor of mine, also named Matt McMullen, ironically enough, said...
don't believe the hype.
Yeah.
It's the rap song. Don't believe the hype.
There you go. I remember telling him, once we got our funding for the building locked in, that I thought my job would be done. And he said, let me tell you, when the doors of the building open, welcome to the starting line. And so my perspective right now is, how can we take this construction model, from not just the building of it, but the financial stack of it, how can we take the support from the IDD community, duplicate it, and then also be a model for a well-run operation, because we're at the starting line now that the doors have been open for about 5 months.
And I think that's a perfect way to segue into the cameos that we're going to be bringing people in and getting, let's call it 30-second commercials, forever long they last, of saying we did a deep dive with a few different people at the Nuts and Bolts conference, and the majority of those people are going to be here tonight, and we're going to go, you as the MC running the event, you're going to grab them, bring them in here, and kind of just, I think that what I want you to really, let's celebrate that they got us here,
absolutely,
but then create a call to action, and we're going to be listening to you and all of us of going on this journey tonight of like where their perspectives, and hopefully a few things of saying it's not perfect, but it's here. It got built, and a lot of these don't actually get built. So I commend all you guys that have worked through this to make it happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't have Quentin Tarantino tonight for the cameo, but we got some heavy hitters, man.
Yeah. Well, let me go ahead and just give that the first call to action now. And it's a pretty simple one. If you're listening to this right now, the IDD community, that's the community of people with intellectual developmental disabilities. And the call to action is, don't be a part of the 99%. And what I mean by that is, we're fighting an invisible enemy. There's a big push out there in the public about housing the homeless. How can we build scalable micro housing for the homeless, which is a good cause. I'm not knocking it, right? But the truth is, there's 20,000 people in the state of Colorado right now that have an intellectual disability that you deal with on a daily basis at the store when they're checking you out, at the local ARC, whatever. And they're living with a caretaker over the age of 65 that within the next decade will be, they're not going to be able to provide for their loved one. So people listening to this, not just get involved with the IDD community, and I'm not saying get involved with Trailhead community. What I'm saying is bring awareness, especially as the professionals listening to this, how can we build more housing, more scalable housing to a community that really services our community right now, but they will be unhoused within the next decade.
Yeah, and the part that I want to, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the 4 hours of podcast with, you know, one of my big honors is I got it recorded of Barb sharing her story of how and why, which it makes you stop and think when they're not here. You just think it's just going to keep going, and then something changes, right? And so that conversation with Barb and Lexi at the table is one that I challenge people to go back to if you've been involved in this and maybe not listen to those other podcasts. And that can just be a kindling to listen to more of those conversations. So some of those people are going to come back to tonight. And Matt, I always say seven times for the first time. When was the Nuts and Bolts conference when we physically talked to these people last time? And then James, for the people that may have not listened, just give a sentence of what is IDD one more time for us people that are catching up to share the passion.
Yeah. So, October 2023. Was when we had the Nuts and Bolts.
And we're recording this April 10th of 2025.
Yep.
Did you think it would take this long to be here recording it tonight, James?
No, because we were supposed to be open in May of 2024.
Have you ever seen that kind of delay ever happen in projects, Matt?
Wait, what? In my 35 years as an architect? What?
Construction delays?
Yeah, that's unusual. Yeah, no, I guess one thing I want to say about Lexi, and it's we could get to the story later, but I think the story now is appropriate, is that Barb's vision was to create this place. She worried about what would happen if she was not around. We opened, I believe, October 31st. And Barb passed away, I believe, on October 15th. And so 2 weeks before. So unfortunately, she did not get to see it be open. Mm. But her dream came true in that Lexi is thriving here. Mm. And in fact, today is Lexi's birthday.
Oh, wow.
And so I brought a present and some flowers for her. But while it's tough to have lost her mom, she has people around her who love her. And Barb's dream came true.
Yeah, absolutely. And to answer your question, Devin, one more time on what IDD, who the IDD community is. It's people with an intellectual developmental disability. And there's a lot of, that's a very broad statement. So in 30 seconds, I'll tell you who Trailhead is and who we are not. So who we are is, I like to say, think about the person that you've dealt with for the last 10 years at your local grocery store, high-functioning person with autism, and you love them because they bring energy to you every time you go through the checkout line. That's primary makeup of our IDD residents. What we are not is a medical facility. There are IDD individuals, unfortunately, that just have such severe medical needs. We are not that. But we also see the need that there needs to be more buildings, because I was told by Barb not to use the F word in facility.
Correct.
There needs to be more buildings for higher needs in the IDD, but we're really high functioning IDD in terms of housing with our residents.
I guess, excuse my ignorance, I got to learn more what Barb meant by don't use the F facility word.
Oh, so I can answer that. So the person who was the mother, Teresa, of
You're
autism,
right.
Denise Resnick, who has a son, Matt, we share a name, and he is very low functioning on the autism spectrum, high needs. And so she hates the F word, which is the facility word, or the I word, which is institution. So if you use the F word when you're in her presence, she points at you and you go, I'll never use that word again.
Yeah.
So it's community.
Gotcha.
You're creating a community.
And last thing I'll say is one thing we've noticed, not just here, but research has shown, is when you actually take an individual with IDD and let them live in a safe community, they actually outperform their current capabilities of living on their own. And we'll hear more about that tonight. But like Lexi, for instance, because we've talked about her, she's now doing her own budget on a monthly basis, which she's 33 years old. She has never had to do that. But guess what? She's doing it. I asked her for coffee the other day, and she goes, James, that's not in my budget. And so, So it's things like that where
I bet you it was in her budget, but she just wanted to be polite.
That's right. So you actually see if we can build more of these communities, you'll see these people thrive on a better independent basis.
Awesome.
And when Jeans comes in, who is our executive director, Jeans Mobley, she has some incredible stories. And every time I come down here to give someone a tour or do something down here, she'll have another story about all the folks who with autism and Down syndrome and traumatic brain injury who live here, who've done something that they've never done before because they've never lived on their own before. And it is inspiring and keeps you going, keeps you excited.
Awesome. Well, what do you say we go grab some of the people from the community and share some of those stories, huh,
yeah,
James?
Let's do it.
All right. So Devin's handed the baton over here. This is Matt McMullen, co-host and sometimes mentor to Devin Tilley. And James Harper. Oh, sorry, Mr. Harper. So we're going to talk to Jeans Mobley. And Jeans is an incredible woman. Fellow CU Buffalo alum.
Go Buffs.
Go Buffs, which is always a great thing. But Jeans is our executive director. And so I came into the board last year, May of 2024. Barb Ziegler had stepped off the board at that time to take care of some health issues and invited me to join the board. And so one of the first items that we had to do was replace our executive director, which was Barb. And so I had met Jeans at lunch, got to know her a little bit, but didn't know much. But I knew if she came from the same stock and lineage as Barb, she had to be an amazing woman. And so with that, I just want to dive in, Jeans, and just why don't you give some of your background of other than the CU Buff stuff? Why don't you give a little background?
Some of my background. So my degree is actually in communication. So this is not necessarily what I studied for or went to school for. Right out of college, I worked at an accounting firm, and a few years of doing the job that I thought I needed to do, a desk job where I had set hours, I did what I thought college had trained me to do. And I was really unhappy. It wasn't a good fit for me. I wanted to do something where I was making an impact on something I cared about. and Trailhead fell into my lap in a really magical way, as I think everything with Trailhead has kind of fallen into place. And found out about the position. A couple weeks later, had quit my job. A couple months later, I was the executive director. So certainly was not a traditional path. And call me crazy, but knowing what I know now, I would do it again.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, you dove into the deep end without any water wings on, you know? And even the lifeguard, I think, had gone to go grab an Americano for Mr. Harper. And so can you talk a little bit, because, you know, we've been open since October. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the challenges that you've faced? Because James shared earlier, sorry I used your first name, but James earlier was just talking about the fact that, you know, we've hit the start line, right? Yeah. Everything else before that was like the pre-race.
Absolutely.
And now we've hit the start line. Can you talk about some of the challenges that you've had coming in as a new executive director and getting this place open and running?
Yeah. Every day it's something new. I never know what the day is going to hold. So being flexible in and of itself is a challenge. But for most of our folks, they have never lived on their own before. And so bringing everyone together into this brand new building, this brand new space. We're dealing with, you know, residents learning how they fit in with one another, how they interact with one another, while we're also dealing with a new building. We're dealing with plumbing issues. We're dealing with cracks in the wall. We're dealing with
landscaping.
Like we've got an 81 unit building and it's kind of like 81 new homes. So both things have been a new endeavor for all of us. You know, with the residents in particular, they have done such a wonderful job over these last 4 months. I've seen them go from being really timid and really unsure of themselves into taking this place as their home, and they communicate with one another. I get to work and one of them comes up, I advocated for myself last night when we were having a hard time. So they're learning to be independent while also a part of a community, which is a unique thing for them.
And that was a point that I was going to bring up a little bit earlier, but now's a great time to talk about it. This isn't like your merchant builder community, mm-hmm. where you're just building condos on spec and you're going to sell them. It's not even a management company issue where, like, you just have normal tenant management issues. Not that you don't have that, right, with, you know, lease negotiation or HOA dues, mm-hmm. or any of that kind of stuff, but you have this additional layer of folks who have different needs. Mm-hmm. And some folks are higher functioning than others. Some folks have gaps in their knowledge. Why don't you chat a little bit about that?
Well, and some, part of our residents are neurotypical individuals. So we are truly a blended demographic community where it's just like the real world. They're multi-generational, neurodiversity. It's not one thing. We're kind of a bit of everything. And that blend has been a challenge and one where we're seeing them really learn to work together and support one another. And a senior can't carry her laundry down the stairs, but then she in turn can maybe guide a resident with a disability that's never done laundry before on their own how much soap to use. They lean on one another in really cool ways where community is being built in the laundry room. And how silly that sounds, but it's what we're seeing. So
let's do like some story dives here, because I know some of the stories, okay. But I'm going to like throw them out there and then you can kind of jump in. So Trailhead is mixing independent seniors, mm-hmm. and other neurotypicals together with the intellectual developmental disability population. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a story about one senior who lives here and her offer, including posting a thing on the,
yes.
on the message,
yep.
board.
So we've got several senior residents that have moved in already, and they were all really excited to be a service to this community. They live here not because this is the only apartment complex in the area for them. They live here because they want to be mentors. They want to be part of something. They want to to be surrounded by community. And one of our residents, when she moved in, she had never had much experience with people with disabilities and didn't realize all of the challenges they face when it comes to transportation. That is a huge barrier that most of our folks face. There's just not enough resources. And so when she came in, she realized, hey, you know, this is something that I could do to be of service to this community and make an impact. So she posted on our hub, as we call it. It's our community's message board, that she was available for transportation services because she saw, hey, this is where my community needs me right now. And then take that a step further, she actually started working at Stepping Stone Support Center, the day program, as a service provider. So she got in, has fallen in love with this community, and she's changing her career path because of it.
So that's a good segue too to talk about service providers, because when I've talked to developers, my colleagues, all of them are scared in the sense that it's like, hey, every Monday morning is really devoted to dealing with tenant issues. Affordable housing projects seem to have more tenant issues than others, you know, because stuff happens over the weekend and they got to deal with it. And what I've explained to my colleagues is that, yeah, you're still having to deal with all this property management and real estate issues and stuff like that, but that you have service providers who can handle and deal specifically with the intellectual developmental disability community. You talk about some of the structure of folks who are coming in, Stepping Stone and others who are coming in, provide those support services to that?
So our building is 24/7 staffed, but we are not service providers. Our staff are here for community facilitation, safety, and then, of course, always someone here if you need help with the Lyft app. The kind of next level of support that most of our folks receive is in home care by a service provider. They come in and help with, you know, encouraging them to meal plan, helping plan the grocery lists, taking them to the grocery store, encouraging them to do their laundry, and kind of being a support while they are actually doing the activities on their own. So they also aid in independence just in a bit more, like, in the unit way than our staff is able to. So it's, you know, our building is independent living with supports that make that attainable for folks.
So I'm going to ask you another story. Okay. So you shared a story about a gentleman who was very shy.
Yes.
Can you talk about that story?
Yes. Well, you have a better memory than I do. So any of these other stories, throw my way. And this is actually something we've experienced with a number of our residents now, particularly the gentleman who, in the 18 months of us getting ready for this building to open, we had what we called our launch program to get folks ready for this transition. And in those 18 months, you know, I got to meet some of the residents, and there's three gentlemen in particular, very shy, never said five words to me. After their first week living here, they're coming home so excited to tell me about their day, tell me about what they did the night before after I left for work, show me their puzzles, show me their Legos, the shell that I've seen the majority of the residents come out of while they know that this is their space. It has completely shattered any expectation that I could have ever had. I mean, Matt can attest to sitting in my office. You don't go more than 5 minutes without someone jumping in. So it's definitely a lively community, and today is no different as we celebrate our grand opening. So.
I want to jump to talking about Barb a little bit. Okay. So, and I know this might be emotional for you, you know, and we're going to talk with Lexi about it as well too, but Can you talk about as Barb's granddaughter, and looking over your shoulder, seeing the framed picture of Barb there, what does it mean to you to be Barb's granddaughter and to be here every day and see what she created come to life and knowing that you have an active hand in it now?
Wow. I have certainly compartmentalized to get this building open, and the grand opening, frankly, has brought a lot of that up to the surface. So I will do my best. You know, it was, I always saw this project from behind the scenes as a family member watching it grow. And I am so honored to now get to be a part of this side of things and see, wow, she really put a lot more effort into this than anyone knew. She accomplished more in the last 10 years of her life than a lot of people accomplish in their entire lives. So it's big shoes to fill. I feel blessed that, you know, I got to have a year where I got to know her in a new way. I got to know her as my mentor. And that is an experience that I wouldn't trade for the world. It is painful to be here celebrating without her when I think we all know that we wish she was and she should be, but I like to think it was all part of her grand plan. She started this project for her daughter, so her daughter would have a home after she passed away. And serendipitously, she passed away right before we opened. I think what I like to believe is that she felt peace, that she knew Lexi was going to be okay. Lexi has been. It's been tough, but this community is doing exactly what Barb always wanted it to, is surrounding her with support and love. So it's hard, but I get to see Barb's dream being a reality every day. And that's an amazing thing.
Can I add something here?
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Harper.
So those listening might say, oh, Jeans is Barb's granddaughter. No wonder she's executive director. Because actually when Barb brought it up that we should hire Jeans, I told her that it was nepotistic and that we should not. And I was absolutely wrong. So I just want to take this moment and commend you for the leader you are.
Thank you, James.
And what...
How's it feel knowing you almost made the biggest mistake?
Yeah.
I just want to say that I nominated her to be the executive director.
I will say this. I've been wrong many of times on this project, and I will probably be wrong many times more. And I'm happy that I was wrong on this one. But the role that you were put into, having to learn so quickly, not just about how to run a building, how to talk to construction people that can be very difficult at times, how to run a nonprofit, and then, oh, by the way, the family ties that you have to it. I have been able to work with some of the best CEOs in all of this country, and I would put you in the top percent of leaders I've been able to work with. So I just wanted to, the connection here, if you're listening, this 100% was earned. And Barb's vision, again, was right at putting the right people in the right places. She was very talented at that.
And can I just say, I'm going to hop off here to go join the fun stuff, but in reflecting on all of this hard work and the hard work that continues, these residents and seeing their lives have made every moment worth it. They will continue to, they continue to drive me forward every single day. They are now my community. They've welcomed me in with open arms. They remind me to eat when I'm having a busy day. They tell me good luck when I have to give a speech. They are my biggest supporters. So if any residents make it through listening to this podcast, just know how proud I am of you and how grateful I am to be a part of your lives. So.
Well, as we close this this segment in this cameo appearance, I just want to say that Barb was an amazing person.
Yeah.
And she would always say one thing, right? And I keep that in my mind as we move forward with all the challenges that we face with Trailhead, and that's never give up. Mm. And so tonight, I think we can maybe put that aside and just say, let's have fun, and then we'll get back to never give up tomorrow morning when we all wake up.
I commend you for allowing us to be here and being part of this and sharing the story. James, any closing thoughts on this one, and we'll get on to the next one?
No, I don't think so. Thank you, Jeans, and I look forward to having a good celebration with you tonight.
We're back with our next cameo, and I wish people could see Lexi right now, because she is like all sparkly. It looks absolutely beautiful and has a tiara on her head.
Thank you.
She is the queen, well, the queen L. She can't be the queen B because it's Lexi. She's the queen L. So, hey, thanks for joining us.
Yes, you're welcome.
And We're just gonna ask you some questions. We've done a little pre stuff. We just got through interviewing Jeans, and we were talking to her about an executive director being Barb's granddaughter. But you are one level closer to Barb. You are Barb's daughter.
Yes.
And so Devin and I had the pleasure when we were down in October 2023 at the Nuts and Bolts conference, and we got to interview Barb and you, which was an incredible interview. And so we're going to go over and above that and have it be even more awesome this time.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Let us know what it's like to live here at Trailhead.
Honestly, it's been amazing, but emotional roller coaster at the same time. It's great to like feel that it's open. People come in every day to see what it's like, ask questions. Seeing people from different states hearing about it makes me feel like what my mom did means a lot, not just for me, but for everybody else.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that with Jeans, about how people have absolutely flowered here and just blossomed. And I know I personally experienced that when I brought people down here on tours, is every single time I see someone, and not just because I get to know them better and I know their name, but just I see the personal growth in them.
Yes.
You talk about some of the residents, you know, you don't have to name them by name, but just
I would say I've seen a lot of different personalities come out more in a good way, because a lot of them have been in their own four walls, at home, a hearthstone, a daycare, whatever you would call it. But I feel like what you said, they were a caterpillar, but now they're a butterfly, because they can be themselves. They don't have mom and dad. Not saying that's a bad thing, but now they can really bring out their own and themselves to everybody else.
Talk about your personal growth. Like, what are you doing here that you didn't do before? That now it's, if it's, you know, that classic line, if it's to be, it's up to me. Share some of that with us.
I would say most of it is my independence. I mean, there's been a lot of setbacks, but it's also helped me realize how much I needed the independence. Even if I had it a little bit before, I'm able to open the door all the way. And I feel like that's made it better for me in a lot of different ways. I'm learning that it's okay to have bumps in the road, but still grow better with my independence and learn that at the same time.
Do you feel comfortable talking about just, you know, some of the bumps without sharing too much personal information?
I would say probably the biggest one is my mom being gone. I feel like I have a lot of support, but I also, since I'm so independent, it's so hard to ask that help of like, hey, I need help with this, grocery shopping, stuff that are like things that you would think you can do on your own. But it does feel kind of nice that I don't have that barrier where I can still be independent but be okay now to ask. And I feel like with Trailhead being open, my mom gave me a place that is mine, and still have that sadness, but where I'm not feeling like I'm stranded, not knowing where I have to go, a host home or in a different apartment. And I feel more I'm not alone. I feel like I have more people around me.
So what do you bring into the community? Because that's one of the things that we've talked about, and I experience every time I come down here, is it truly is a community. What do you bring into the other residents, both neurodivergent and neurotypical folks and seniors?
I feel like after the people knew about the stories and I decide to bring my inner self to other people, it helps them know that they have a community. And I want people to know to not be afraid. So I feel like my kindness, my like just openness about who I am, and just kind of letting people know it's okay for them to do that as well.
And your sparkliness.
Well, no, I want that by myself. I don't want anybody else having it. Just kidding. I'll share. But yes, it's been a really good emotional journey for me and for everybody else here. But it's good to see all the different people, personalities, all the things that we can learn as a community together, so we all are on a bounce.
You know, so Devin has done this great job of creating this community of folks literally all across the world. You know, I mean, he has listeners in China, and folks came from Japan and visited and brought him his favorite, you know, whiskey. If there's something that you wanted to tell developers, contractors, folks who can make more of these communities happen, not only in the United States, but around the world, what would you share with them?
I would say that I think they need to know this is a very unique project, and it means a lot to people, not just me. And I feel like people need to know that there needs to be multiple. I don't care if it's in space. I feel like we need this community around the whole world and in and out. And I feel like those people need to know that you might have done a whole bunch of different projects, but this is something special. This is not the same thing that you would do across the street. It's different in a good way.
Well, I'm going to throw it to James now to ask a couple of questions. And, you know, James has known you longer than I have.
I'm sorry, Matt.
I know, I want to talk about that, because I'm not saying that's a positive thing. I'm just saying. So, James, I throw it to you.
Lexi, you know I love you. I feel like your older brother. And I've seen so much growth in you, and it's been amazing. If people wanted to get involved in the IDD community or other projects like Trailhead, what would your call to action be? Because you are the best salesperson we've ever known.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily about the money. I think it's more, we need more people that care about this community, because there are those people that are not so nice about this community, and we need people that can open their hearts out and be able to accept this and accept that this is something that is real and that it's authentic, and it just means a lot.
And then last, I just want to thank you for your friendship and just wish you You're a happy
welcome.
Birthday.
Thank you.
Look at this party that we've thrown for you. And you have been the poster person of Trailhead community, so thank you.
You're very welcome.
And when we've looked at your poster with your sparkly gown on, we've had to wear sunglasses.
I'm
because
sorry.
Your future's so bright.
Make sure you get 3D, because that's...
Well, I just want to say, however much James love you, I love you double that, so...
Oh, gosh, I don't know if I would have any blow fights in the parking lot, so...
So, thanks for joining us, and thanks for everything that you do in this community to continue to build it, because we're not here every day. In your
You're
home.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, so we're back. You know, we went out, mingled with the folks at the party, and let me just assure you, I wish you were here.
I got me a tequila soda. I'm doing good now. Cheers.
Yeah. We had a ranch water. I'm on Diet Coke right now, though. So, so I'm just going to throw a series of questions out, and I see this is like an organic conversation here, where you guys will jump in, share your expertise, kind of experience as you move through the journey, because we've really moved from vision into design into execution to now into operations. So one of the things...
And those were the titles of How to Design for IDD, which we, seven times for the first time, James talked about what is IDD for the people that don't know, and then how to build out for an IDD, and then you built it.
Yep.
So here we are.
One of the things we kind of joked with James about was, hey, congratulations, you've now reached the starting line.
Exactly.
Which is operations. And so I'm going to just throw a question on the table here. When you guys look back, right, because everybody got involved at different viewpoints, me being the latecomer to the party, is what is it that you took away from when you came in and the vision that you had and was shared by Barb to what you've learned at this current point in time?
You know, when I get involved in projects and I meet people that haven't done development before, I'm like, it's not worth the brain damage. It's not worth the effort to teach people how to develop.
Right.
And, you know, I would say no to a project like this all day long, except for the vision and the mission that was behind it all.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that, because we've talked a little bit about Barb and what she saw, but share your lens on Barb with us.
So I think I was actually at the first gala. I was invited by some friends that have a special needs son and had no idea what to expect and didn't really know anything about stepping stone or trailhead at that time. And you know, they were up there telling this story of this vision, and I was just like, man, I could help these guys. And that's what we did. I texted my two business partners, and they're great business partners. I said, hey, I'm at this event. It's a fundraiser. They kind of knew a little bit that I was going. And I said, would you guys be willing to help? And their response was, whatever you want to do. And so we jumped in, both feet.
And that conversation happened while you were at the first gala, is that right?
At the first gala by text.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I have to chime in here and say, I always talk about vision without traction is a hallucination. Mm-hmm. And tonight it's been all about executing Barb's vision for her daughter, Lexi. And I'm going to challenge you, Jim, to go back and listen to show 327, where you shared a version of that story you just shared that I had been called to the day before on this podcast that you're going to go back and listen to. And Matt called me the day before and said, Devin, you just got to get down here and document this story. It's going to turn into big things. And then Matt didn't tell me that him and James were going to bring me onto the stage during lunch and tell me to chime in on what I should talk about. And then it hit me emotionally to where the business sector wanted to get involved instead of the other way around, of the trying to have the private and the business of all these things come together to say, at the end of the day, you have to care.
Yeah.
And caring is community, and that's the whole word of tonight. We're looking at all these people coming around to this community, and community has to create traction through the world of technology. And that was the part, Ken, you talked about, the hard part of this whole thing. So I want to send it back to Matt of getting how hard it is to begin with the end in mind of just opening the doors when it comes to the living, breathing part of the community and the shelter among them.
Yeah. And so I wanted to wrap this back full circle. Is I remember Jim's story and I remember Ken's story. And tonight is the first night that I got to meet Ken's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's an incredible young lady. So can you talk about a little bit about your story, which when people go back and they listen to show 328, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember this story. But there's a wrinkle to this story now with your daughter.
Right.
And so please talk about that.
Yeah. So to kind of go back and retell that story. Mine was an introduction to the architect of the building at a conference, and he came up and just started going through our booth materials, and I introduced myself, and he said, you know what, I think I need what you have. I said, great, let's start there. And he started telling me about Trailhead. Of course, having no way of knowing, he was talking to the father of a daughter diagnosed with autism, and she must have been, boy, how long ago was that? Well, she's 21 now, so however many years ago that was. And immediately wanting to get involved and coming on the project as a partner with managing the technology components for the project. And it was really a challenge for us because, you know, this is what we do, is we integrate technology into the built environment. My firm, Layer 10, that's what our focus is. but we hadn't worked in this population before with this community. So it was taking everything that we know and everything that we do every day and applying it to this unique circumstance. And that was a challenge that we loved. And this is the first time, actually, that my daughter has had a chance to see the finished product, to be here. Wow. I mean, she's been hearing about it and hearing about it. I wasn't able to bring her by even during construction. So it was for her to be here now and to be in the building. And she came in and she was a little shy, as is her nature. And as soon as she met Lexi, which we were dying to introduce her to, then she just lit up. And it's just, we could be friends, and let's go see one of the units. And we went and met Sarah and toured her unit. So it's just such a great,
Right now we're looking out through the windows, looking straight into the Rocky Mountains, and out in the porte cochere, which is an architectural term, is Lexi in her glittery gown with a tiara on, and her sister with another, like, intense gown. So Devin's taking a picture right now. We'll post that on social media so people can see it. But I don't want to interrupt, but I knew you when you were layer 9. You guys are continuing to grow. You're now layer 10.
Layer 11's right around the corner.
Yeah, I can feel it coming.
We go to 11.
Talk about layer 10, because I've been, you know, on some of your webinars.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about what you do.
Sure.
Because it's important, because there are developers out in the crowd, in the audience that listen to us, that need to know about this technology and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned, our focus is on integrating technology into the built environment, and we work across all build types. Doesn't really matter what you're building. We believe there's a layer of technology that's important to complete the space. And what our model is to bring the same sort of user design and human experience methodologies and disciplines to the technology layer. That we do it with so many of the other creative spaces that everybody has a seat at the design table except IT. IT is left off.
So Ken came up with this brilliant thing. Instead of MEP, it's MEPIT.
That's
like,
right.
You know, not Muppet, but MEPIT. MEPIT. And give them a seat at the table.
Yeah, we prefer IT MEP.
We have to whip it with the MEPIT, windows and doors. And so basically at the end of the day, whatever you want to call it, it all has to work together, right?
Yeah.
And technology
is
a key thing of, can you open the door when you want to get in the building?
That's right. And it's an important piece that's just, it's forgotten. It's that can that gets kicked down the road, and then eventually somebody picks it up, and it's usually way too late. You've designed yourselves often into corners that it limits your ability to really capitalize on the opportunities that technology have to elevate your space.
Well, speak a little bit about neuroinclusive communities and why that's important, given the community and population that we house in this building.
And for the people outside of the people inside the IDD community to help everybody bring us into this building tonight.
Right. Yeah, so when we were approached with this challenge, we took all of the things we typically do in the multifamily space, and we thought, all right, what is unique about this population that we need to really pay special attention to? And we came up with the two big things being safety and security and creating community. That there's a danger of when neurodiverse adults become independent that they end up isolated. And we needed to make sure that that wasn't going to happen here. So we invested so much in the common areas, in the amenity spaces, in the programming to make sure that we had community here. So we've got our sports court and our media center and all of this open space, our arts and crafts room. And how can technology support that? And then, of course, safety and security were key components of this, is making sure that we leverage technology to support the staff, the 24-hour staff that is here. And, you know, the other thing is you have to design not just for the residents, but for their parents, because so many of them are releasing their children out into the world for the first time. And they're adults, but they're still our kids. My 21-year-old is still our kid, and I always refer to the residents here as the kids. And so making sure that they feel they have that level of comfort in the safety measures and the security measures that we've put in place, that they're going to be safe, they're going to have community, and they're going to have a place to thrive, not just a place to live.
I think about the challenge of that. I've been hearing so much about the challenge of, like, if Barb is gone, what is Lexi going to do living in Barb's house? But then if Lexi goes out, and then how does Barb go into Lexi's house, of the trade-offs of that, that you have to really make the master key be a flexible thing.
That's right. That was one of our key principles in designing this, is we didn't want the units, because it's 50%, roughly 50% adults with IDD, and the remainder is split between affordable housing and active seniors. But we didn't want to lock in this half of the building is for IDD, this 25% is for active seniors, and so on. We needed that flexibility. So what we designed into it was a plug-and-play type of a scenario, that the infrastructure, the technology infrastructure we built into every space is the same. So then we can add on the systems and services that we need depending on who is moving into that space. So we can flip a unit from an IDD unit to affordable housing.
Yeah, and this is going to be a single longer podcast, because all the way back to the beginning of this one, we talked about Jeans and her challenges of, I'm the executive director for 81 new houses inside of this building.
That's right.
And us in the construction world, engineering it, we're just thinking about one building. But then the person who has to manage the building when it's open, you have to think about a common corridor to 81 people that have their own place inside of it. Well, which sounds obvious until you walk into it and hear the perspective.
And don't forget that Trailhead's a community. You know, think about the active spaces in the building and how you might use them for your own needs. My company, we did a retreat here at the first of the year and used the conference room and did our own company visioning here. And in our breaks, we interacted with the residents and the staff. And, I mean, it's a fantastic place to visit and really leave some of that stress behind of work.
Super cool.
And to work in this community was just made those days so much better.
Reminds you why you do it, right?
Yeah, there are two things I wanted to cover in this cameo, too, was, you know, Jim, to talk to you a little bit about, you know, Point Consulting is a little bit of a different animal. Like, you guys are a little bit of kind of unicorns in the sense that you offer multiple services within your company. Can you expound a little bit on the challenges that you faced when this thing was a blank slate, right?
There was a step before the blank slate.
Yeah.
Because originally we were going to be on a site down off of Coal Mine. And you know why Coal Mine got its name? Because there's coal mines all over the place right there.
Imagine that.
And there was a site identified that as we got into the due diligence, we're like, this might not be such a stable state to build a big community on, because there were existing coal mines under it. And so we started looking around and we identified a new potential site. Well, a couple actually. We shopped around, we did site planning, space planning, you know, what could we get in there, and kind of did that evaluation, and we ended up where we're at today through that process. And then, you know, the educational part I mentioned is, okay, now what can we fit on here? What can we reasonably expect to build within the county's parameters, the overlying zoning, and things like that? We figured out we couldn't build on here at all because it wasn't zoned properly. So step one is go to the county and present our case at public hearing and neighborhood meetings to get it rezoned for a very unique multifamily type of project.
Was that this site or a different site?
This site.
So this is the coal mine site?
No. We moved here after we got over that coal mine issue.
Got it.
And so we went through that county process. And then, because of the unique use, you know, trying to get over some of the normal hurdles of Well, you have 84 rooms. You need 170 parking spaces. You need all these things that we really don't need for an IDD community. And
why is that? Because we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Gene's talked about how somebody stepped up to drive.
Yeah.
Because they don't, a lot of them don't drive. Right?
Yeah.
And so you don't need as many parking spaces if they don't drive.
And we don't. And we, you know, thankfully, the church was willing to work with us. And they were able to dedicate shared parking through their space and facility to satisfy the county that...
Fascinating. So that's this church I'm looking at behind me.
Yeah.
In the video is this church behind us that helped put it together. That's cool.
So in reality, we have an easement to use their parking spaces, even though we don't need them. But we satisfied the county, you know, with the idea that we have to have a certain number of parking spaces for a typical mixed-use development.
But if, like, this great gala tonight, they may not be using it. All community all came together because that's what the church is doing over there, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's called shared peak demand parking. Yeah, we had a similar issue when we did the Boulder Shelter for the Homeless, is that hey, these people are homeless. They don't have cars, right? And then the AHJ, the authority having jurisdiction, has a light bulb moment called, hey, you know what? You're right. So, Jim, I'm going to stay with you here, and I just want to, like, now go to the back end of where we are tonight and to really talk about responsibility as board members now, because I'm lucky enough. Somehow, Barb had a weak moment and added me to the board. But, you know, Ken is our co-chair with his beautiful wife, Zara. Jim has been on the board forever.
And let's unpack this for a while, because guys like me, I've never actually been on a board. Talk through why you should be on a board and what a board should do to be successful.
Yeah, so I'll throw it to these guys to talk about that. But talk about the transition of what it meant to be a professional consultant on a project that you believed in, but then to stick on the board after that and what your responsibilities are and how those things have changed. With saying what it means to be on a board. So, Jim, we start with you.
Well, you know, Barb invited me to be on the board, potentially in a weak moment as well. you know, Barb would call me up occasionally with something she didn't know or she didn't understand. And a lot of times she was pretty distressed about it. And she'd call me up and she'd be like, what are we going to do about this? And I would be like, oh, I've seen worse. We'll figure it out. You know? And I don't know. I just, throughout the whole process in kind of the belief in that vision, I was just like, we can figure anything out. I've figured out much harder challenges than we ever saw here. And... you know, I don't know, maybe I was more motivated to figure him out as well. But, you know, I think that's kind of why Barb got me involved.
Which is the key vision. As we're sitting here, Barb sitting with her picture behind us, she knew how to pull on the heartstrings and the purse strings. Because you say figure hard things out, but you leaned into it when she called. And we talked about that on the last podcast, too, following up Barb's vision, which we all need to go back and listen to this to get some reminders of why.
Yeah, I've done different board things over the years, nothing quite like this board. So I had some familiarity with kind of the rules and regulations and operation of a board. So I, again, didn't really shy away from that. And during that whole design and construction process, I was like, I can help here. I can keep helping. You know, I've got some experience, some knowledge, and here we are today. And, you know, all but a finished product and people living here. And
a party going on here.
Big party going on.
Yeah, my story is somewhat similar, that, you know, they started as a client and immediately became my favorite client for obvious reasons. And I tell that, I can tell that to all my clients that you're my second favorite client, everybody. And then I, then it gives me the opportunity to tell the Trailhead story. Wait a minute, what do you mean your second? Well, let me tell you about my first favorite client. And not long after joining and becoming a part of the design team, Barb asked if I would start attending the board meetings because there were a lot of questions about the technology. And so I was just there to represent that part of it. I didn't realize at the time it was a probationary period that she was, she was putting me through the paces.
Oh, you're still, you're still on probation, even though you're the board president. I hate to break it to you.
I believe that. And so I started attending the meetings. And then when a position opened up, she invited, but she had gotten to know my wife, Zara, during that time as well, and she really wanted both of us to be a part of it.
We like Zara better, but
yes,
but we do love Ken.
You've got the priority order correct.
They're an incredible couple.
And so she asked us to come on and share a seat. We only had one seat open, and so that was the position we took. And after just a few months, Barb had to step back from her board president position and focused just on being the executive director. As we got closer and closer to moving in, she was unable to manage both of those, wear both of those hats. So she asked if we would step up into that role. And, you know, to answer the question that you asked about what does it take, I think for a project like this specifically, and this is the first board that I've been a part of, so I can only speak to my experience here. The needs at the time when we were designing the building, it changes over time. It was getting the people on the board who had that experience and were able to speak to what are we trying to do with this. Getting people behind the mission is easy. Not everybody on the board, like Jim, has a personal direct connection. Zara and I do, but not everybody does. But the mission is so easy to get behind. And that's key for being a part of a nonprofit board specifically. But what gaps can you fill with your experience, with your resume, with what you do professionally that you can bring to the table to help us bring this vision to reality? Because we were, as Jim mentioned, you know, Trailhead, we're not a development team. We're a nonprofit developing. So it that has challenges. And so to supplement with the board members, I think, is key.
But the board members make a living, do developments.
Exactly.
And so you have to put the yin and the yang together and make it work, which really is the secret sauce of the whole thing.
Wait, when you were asking, like, what does it mean to be a board member, the word that came to my mind is stewardship. And what it is, you know, you go from you go through these phases. You go vision, then you go creation, then you go execution, and then you go operation. And as a board member, that stewardship moves through all of those phases. But you have to have that burning desire within you that I think that all professionals do, especially in the architecture, engineering, construction, and IT industry, is that, one, you want to be of service, and two, you love to solve problems. Because people always say, well, you must love puzzles. No, that's what we do all day long, even when we're sleeping, and then we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and like, oh, shit, I've got it. And then you write it down so you can go back to sleep. So I think stewardship is really the thing, is that you need to have that. You need to have that within your body to know that you need to be on that board because folks need your help in some capacity.
It's servant leadership,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing as what you were saying, is you have to have that mindset to take on that role.
To close this out, you guys have, you've been through the journey. We're still on it, right? Like, we're partying tonight, but tomorrow morning we'll be back at it again, you know, making sure that we're creating community here and that the community's safe and secure for mm-hmm. future generations, because parents have trusted their children to us. And they're living on their own for the first time. And like when Devin and I got up on the stage at the Nuts and Bolts conference and we said, hey, you know what? Failure's not an option.
That's right.
Do you guys have any final
thoughts? Yeah, and I also want you both to talk through, with the doors open, what is a big surprise from the last time? Like, because we want to learn from you all, because the big message of this podcast when we kicked this off with James was, how do we get others to do the second, third, fourth, fifth, and get more of these with all these people walking around here that are now literally drinking the juice, whatever they want to drink, and they want to get involved. What are the buyer bewares and why they should do it? Talk through that.
You know, there have been a lot of peaks and valleys during this process and a lot of challenges that we have had to overcome. And the key has been that dogged determination, that failure is not an option. Hope is not a strategy. Failure is not an option. Mm. And when those things come up, it's putting our heads together and just buckling down, saying there is a solution and we need to get, you said that earlier, we can find it if we have the right people in the room. And maybe that ties back to the board questions. Make sure you have the right people in the room to tackle those problems.
And that changes over time because you need unique sets of skills, and that changes through each one of those phases that we just mentioned. Operations and management and stabilization is a completely different thing than getting a building. So
that's absolutely correct. And something you said at the beginning, Matt, about this being not being the finish line. It isn't. I mean, we had so many steps along the way towards Trailhead to get to the summit. We're not there yet. You might call it a false summit.
Which Trailhead is the start of the trail.
There you go.
And I don't know why I never... Did you guys... Is that the Trailhead community?
Bingo.
It just actually... I just got it.
Yeah. Like, we'll say yes.
But who came up with the name Trailhead...
So,
got a bingo here. Matt just pulled up the bingo card of you, the game tonight. I believe that was you go around
Devin
and
just
you
got
see that.
So it evolved, you know, from the Stepping Stone community and support center that teaches and works with IDD kids and adults. You know, preparing them to be part of the community. And, you know, when that vision evolved to create a place to live, it was just a natural step to go from Stepping Stone to Trailhead. And you know, part of that journey.
But I, if I'm hearing this right, we're thinking out loud while we're doing. Like, a stepping stone to a trailhead to second, third, fourth. There isn't a perfect recipe for that. You just work really hard and play really hard.
Well, I heard the magic word false summit, and I pointed at you.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about a false summit? Because that's what we have going on in Trailhead right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, thinking about that, you know, that's what keeps you going.
That's right.
You know, You've got to that false summit. We still got a ways to go, but like everything else we've taken on through this, we can handle it. We've been led.
And then the holy grail that Matt and I are shooting for is repeatable process. So the engineering, the IT, the architecture, the art of construction,
right,
is building repeatable processes. And getting back to, we're better on our next project than you're only as good as your last project is how construction works, and we reinvent the wheel, right? And so we're trying to figure out, how do we break through the ceiling of the new AI algorithms, IT infrastructure? It's still just people shaking hands and making cool stuff.
In the end, that's what matters, yeah. And I think that, you know, creating that process and a repeatable process, we don't know yet what's next for Trailhead. Whether we're going to build another building, the need certainly exceeds what we've been able to complete here. And it is a night for celebration, and we are going to take the opportunity to do that. But certainly we have built a model that if we did it again, we'd do some things a little differently for sure. But
a few of those, though. I think lessons learned are super important, like for all of us to be, like to learn from you all. What's a couple things you would do different?
You've been involved longer than I have. You want to start?
No, you just said certainly, but I want to call you on that.
I've got some ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, when we look at the need, you know, it's something, you know, along the lines of, what if all we ever did for the rest of our careers was do Trailhead type projects?
Yeah.
we would never run out of work.
Yep.
So how do we get to that? How do we answer that question? In every one of these communities, because the IDD community is so diverse, they would all be different projects.
That's right.
Because they have
They're so diverse, but so siloed. I think of our good friend Danny Combs that we just did a whole series at TACT, and I'm learning all of what they call things and what they're working on, and it's all the same challenges of they're great people that are not being heard.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know, some of the other challenges is we've talked about it a little bit. We've touched on here and getting the right people on the bus and making sure that you're doing your due diligence on the people that you're bringing on board, the groups that you're engaging with, and the vast majority of everybody that we worked with were fantastic partners in getting this done. We also tried to do this during an extraordinarily challenging time in regards to banking and financials rates.
Called the pandemic.
Yeah.
And interest rates. Yeah. And it's one of those, I think the key lesson to learn from this is to learn lessons, right? Like, as Jim mentioned, every single individual is different, whether they have autism or they have Down syndrome or they have traumatic brain injury. And so your mix will always be different. And so it's like this programming cornucopia, right? Where you always have something different. So every project will look different, not just from the architecture, but the programmatic guts and what unit mix you offer. And are they capable? Is the community capable of living on their own? Do they need a caretaker unit, right? So now you have two bedrooms, two baths. So it's those types of things. The equity stack. Yeah, we'll look
and help me understand one more time, what is the mix? It's 81 rooms that we could tour here tonight, and it's like a fifth mix of.
Yeah,
How did it get mapped out for others to learn from that?
Well, I can talk about the mix now. I can't talk about how we got there, but it's 83 units.
83.
So two hoteling units. There's 21.
What
units.
What is hoteling units?
Hoteling
mean?
Means if you have. A child here, and maybe you're from out of state or you have a significant drive to come down, you can stay here and be with your child while you visit them here at Trailhead Community.
Okay, so there's two hotel rooms that anybody can stay in that fits whatever criteria.
21 units that were reserved at 60% AMI for CHAFA, Colorado Housing Finance Authority. And limited for 10 years. And so those are studio units that are currently leased. And we have a waiting list for those. And then 60 units of condominiums that are for sale. And they vary from studios, one bedrooms with a den, and then a couple two bedrooms, two baths.
So that diversification of the plan is really important to help justify whatever challenges you're at when you start it, whether it be interest rates, or cash flow, or a private investor, or what kind of funding is coming in to structure the deal. Am I understanding that right?
And it was a constant evolution. I mean, the first site plan we did on this site, I think we had 40 units. We had a separate building.
40 to 83?
Yeah. You know, we had a separate building that was going to be kind of the activity building and the operation side of it, and then the other building was going to be the residence.
Got it.
Then, you know, we started, you know, focusing on how much could we get on this piece of property, and could we get more units? So it grew from 40 to 50 to 60 to 80, and we kind of maxed out on what we could really get done here. But we were probably up closer to 90 a couple times, trying to figure out if we could squeeze it in. The unit count could change because we wanted more activities, more community features. I mean, it changed. It was always conceptually kind of 50-50 on the IDD versus neurotypical, but, you know, we always thought that was the good mix. to kind of create the community and
so you learn as you go, because you just got to make the deal work, right? It wasn't like you had to have 50 or you had to have 100. It was what works.
Yeah.
And back to the vision to execute it, Barb was there for Lexi in a community. And I think that's really important to lean back on, of like, how do you get a deal to the finish line? And what I mean by the finish line is get it built. Because, Matt, you and I go through a lot of deals that just sit in a conference table that don't go anywhere.
Well, I think the other thing that's important, a lot of the families that are here tonight have adult children who live in this community as well, too. So those are kind of the folks, and, you know, we're involved in other projects right now where we're talking to different people in different parts of Boulder County and Larimer County. And the common theme is that you have these parents with children who, you know, they have the same concern that Barb had. Is like, what are we going to do with our kids if something happens to us? And that seems to be the impetus. I'd say if there's a commonality to IDD communities, it's that. And they really are the driver. So I just want to acknowledge all the other parents who are going to be listening to this podcast to say, hey, you know what? It's not just about Barb and Lexi, because that group that came together was Barb and other parents right at the very beginning and said, hey, you know what, we all going to come together and we're going to make something happen together as a group. And some of those people are here tonight.
I love it. And which I think they're speaking out there. We want to hear this story, right? So any last words you guys want to put to the table?
I think for me, it's going back to that conversation about the finish line. And this is not the finish line. We're not at the summit. We are here to celebrate tonight the opening of this building.
They're doing the ribbon cutting right now.
Oh, is that what we're...
Yeah,
all right.
That's what it is.
The trail is not... We're not at the end of the trail. We're still working on making the trail longer and stronger and more connected for more people to solve the greater problem that we're trying to solve in this community.
Well, let's go cut the ribbon and open the
door. And don't miss the ribbon cutting.
Yeah, all right, here we go, guys.
So we're back. And it's a wrap on the community gala in the grand opening. And we just raised north of $90,000 for Trailhead Community from a bunch of generous folks.
We just walked. Are you guys happy with that? You feeling good?
Absolutely. I've came to the point now that I'm happy with anyone that decides to trust us with their donation. It doesn't matter the amount. I mean, $90,000, that's impactful.
But I think it's really cool to capture the story. And my call to action is, like, go back and listen to the inputs to tonight for the outputs.
Yes.
And think through that. Like, how could you make it more beneficial for you and be part of bigger communities?
Well, Devin, if I could say something real fast, because I think I have an idea of who might be listening to this. If you're in the world of building, if you're in the art of construction, I will tell you that there is something that needs to just be continually pushed out there. We need great general contractors. We need great architects. We need great subcontractors, because although we're celebrating tonight, this was a big challenge to get here. And thankfully, we had good people on our team, but we also had some tough people on our team. So if you're in the building world, if you can be one of the good guys, I promise you, long term, you're going to win.
Matt, what does he mean by that?
I'm going to pivot.
I'm not going to pivot. I'm going to say it's really hard to be a contractor putting this stuff together, to say we're all different contractors practicing how to build better buildings. And I would articulate what James said as saying, come in here and check this out and use this as a basis of design to do more of these. That's what I've heard.
Yes.
And not pointing the finger and calling anybody out, but just saying there needs to be more of this, but you got to see the whole thing through.
Amen to that.
And I was just going to pivot around positivity. You know, and so I agree with everything that you just said. And what I would say to the folks listening in the audience, architects, engineers, contractors, subcontractors, is that if you were able to sit in that room tonight when we were raising money and you saw how excited our community was, the residents here, And the fact they're like, you know what? People love us. They care about us. They see us. They hear us. And just to see the joy on their faces as the paddle raise continued and the money continued to go up, to me, that was everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the auctioneer gal. Like, yeah. I could tell she's been involved in this for a while. And typically, auctioneers really, they're not connected to it.
Yep.
What's her story?
Hey, her name is Haley. She's the greatest auctioneer, I believe, in the state of Colorado, hands down. She's got a heart of gold. She really gets to know her clients. But more than anything, I think her story's kind of the trailhead story. She heard our story, and she kind of attached herself to
us. Haley! Haley, I just learned your name. You got to come on the podcast over here.
I'm going to have Haley do a paddle raise at my feet.
She's writing checks over there.
I'm going to have Haley do a
She's giving all her profits away.
I'm going to have Haley do a paddle raise at my funeral.
Yeah.
So we're going to get Haley to come over here because everybody just finished the auction and is flying high, and give her the lapel. And I want her to say is why you should get involved. But like, she had to go like ask for money. But it really, the way she did it was be part of the community.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, we open the door. And, like, it's people will give more if you really have a true reason to be part of a community.
Absolutely.
Like, I get to go to a lot of benefits.
Yeah.
But who are you benefiting?
Yeah.
In that room, it was the people that are living in the room.
Yeah, that's sitting right next to you.
So you have to really understand your audience. And that's what I'm going to ask her. Like, who is the audience? We're going to ask her, who was the audience you were getting to raise the paddle? And it was fascinating. It was the supporting act to the stars were the people that live in this building.
Yes.
And there was also one, like, I think it was like a mom or someone connecting the other side that like just lost a loved one. And she shared the story of that. Like pulling on the heartstrings, like, let's be real about it. Like, that's what it's all about. But yes, feeling good about it.
Absolutely. And there's also like the reality here. Like, I think there's a realness when you're around the residents here, when you're around the families, the moms, you know, she was talking about the late Paul Arndt, who is one of our board members' husbands. If you think about Zach, who's a resident here, he's now down to one parent left, but he at least has a place to live. So that's why it's so emotional, it's so real, and why it's so important that, you know, a trailhead building number two comes about some way, somehow.
Yeah, there's stories out there we don't know about.
100%.
We just know about the stories in our resident community.
Yes.
So what is our call to action? Like, people listening to this, what should they do with this?
My call to action to people, I guess, would be two things. If you guys do want to learn more about Trailhead Community and get involved, and whether that's donating or volunteering or whatever the case may be, go to trailheadcommunity.org. The second thing is share this podcast with someone that you think could benefit from it, from an awareness perspective, a new information perspective. Honestly, as simple as this sounds, Trailhead has grown because a friend told a friend. So my call to action to you is tell a friend.
And you have to listen a few times to get this message. Like, I still raise my hand and have to tell myself what IDD stands for so I can share the story. And maybe I'm a slow learner, but having all these podcasts really helps weave the threads together because, man, there's a lot of different threads moving through this room. Matt, being on the board, what do you think is next for this chapter?
Well, just keep moving forward, you know, because like Gene's talked about, there's a lot of work to be done. And so we've got bumps in the road. We're on a roller coaster, and, you know, we're going to see it through. Like Barb said, never give up. But then once we get this building stabilized, then it's looking at the next community, because there is a huge need in Colorado. And I can guarantee you, I'm just talking to everybody in the Art of Construction tribe right now. You ask anybody in your family, they know someone with intellectual or developmental disability. That is the one commonality I've noticed as I've started to really focus on this work, is talk to them, tell them to listen to this podcast, and tell them to reach out. You guys have the website address now and our email. So reach out. We're happy to talk to anybody.
We ain't hard to find.
As Coach Prime said, we ain't hard to find.
That's right.
All right, we just called her over here, and I just got to experience in the audience. And I've been to a lot of benefits. I've done 350-plus podcasts. I've been at a lot of events. And I just said, I got to get the auctioneer over here because Haley, is that your name correct?
That is right. It's not Halle Berry. It is Haley Bear.
Haley Bear. Okay, that's memorable. Good on you. And that's what I wanted to have you come over here because it was memorable from a perspective of it's hard to raise money, and most auctioneers are really good at selling the trip, but they're not very good at understanding the story of the room. And so I want to ask you, like, how did you get so involved in this that I've jumped into through my co-host, Matt McMullen, that I went to the Nuts and Bolts conference, and then I said, when this thing happens, I want to be part of it. So I'm back here to continue to share this story. So how did you capture the room so well and tell the Art of Construction who wasn't in that room why should they should get involved in organizations like the Trailhead Community, like you have with the paddle raiser? We just are closing this thing out as over $90,000 back to this community.
Yeah, you know, Devin, I set out with a different goal when I created my company. I call myself a fundineer because I believe I'm your voice night of steering the ship of an organization's fundraising. Well, if I'm not passionate about your cause, how can your audience be? So I'm not just going to show up, call bids, look at the items. Every organization Bear Benefits works with, we volunteer or we tour. So we got 130 different fundraising auctions and nonprofits and different schools that we work with. We get to know the ins and outs so that when I'm up there speaking on behalf of your mission, it resonates and your audience knows, wow, she cares, she gets this, she's in this with us. And just like with Trailhead, incredible organization that I've been involved with for the past few years, Diane Art, who had called out, she had me come on as their fundineer, auctioneer, and that's where I became passionate about it. I got to meet with Diane. I got to hang out with her son, Zach, who sat next to me during the video. I got to come here back in January, tour this new space, get a hands-on look and see, wow, this is where our dollars have gone to. And this is the impact that we're making. And so I think anyone out there can realize this is a crisis and a problem. Just because you don't have a child with an intellectual or developmental disability, it doesn't mean it doesn't affect you. We know that when our children thrive, our entire community can thrive. And so I think it's a really important cause to represent and to support, whether you know someone with an IDD, whether you have a child or a friend with an IDD, it affects all of us.
Yeah, so I'll close it at this, and I'm going to pass it to you to say one thing, and then Matt's going to bring us home on this podcast. That this is, I try to keep my podcast under an hour, and this is like a deep dive series of tonight that's just going to be this monumental podcast. And if no one outside of the community listens to it, screw it, because inside of the community, they're going to tell someone outside of the community. It's going to be that much more powerful, which is what you just said is, gosh dang it, know your customer. And know your customer means you're going to be part of the community. And tonight we just opened the doors, which is really hard because now they have to live, breathe, and live this thing. So, Haley, thank you for coming over and being the MC to the MC and all of us trying to say, hey, let's just share a really cool story tonight and have as much fun as possible. What's your words? And then Matt will send us off here.
Oh my gosh. Well, you hit the nail on the head. And for you coming in and just being the gentleman that, hey, I'm going to host a podcast, that wasn't true. You were out there bidding on Italy. So you got involved. You showcased you cared. And it's just something as simple as that. I call it contagious giving. We're sparking it. A paddle raised, a smile, one personal story or a message shared. And I hope everybody that was here tonight can go out and folks that are tuning into your podcast can learn of the importance of Trailhead Community and share it with a friend. Just share a story, share a smile, go out and spread some kindness. And my last wish or hope would be that we continue to do that, and we continue to do that with any charity or mission or school that we're involved with.
Love it.
Bring us home, Matt.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping you'd ask me the crystal ball question.
I think there's a lot of crystal balls here that we've learned today, tonight. The five podcasts leading into this podcast is, I don't know if there is a crystal ball, but there's people that have passion and community to say, just keep working hard.
Yeah, and I think it's a relationship industry. And so here's somebody we've never met before who's equally as passionate about this community as anyone who is in the room tonight, which is amazing to me.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thanks for bringing me along.
Absolutely.
Like I said earlier on this podcast, Matt called me and, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And Matt called and said, you got to come down here. Are you available to come to this Nuts and Bolts conference? Because this is something special. And here we are from the first recording of Barb, December 7th, 2023, released it, show 326. And I sat down here and I was looking around and I got to meet Jeans in person for the first time that we did the pre-interview with her. And I'm looking at Jeans and I'm like, okay, how's this going to work tonight? And I look over and Barb is looking right at me. Turn around and look at Barb looking right at you.
Yeah, Barb's looking over your shoulder right
now. Okay, you just scared me. I'm like, is she really?
Yeah, she's right there. She's been looking at it.
And I was like, okay, Barb.
She's watching over you.
She is like, Devin, you're running the mic tonight, but do this well. Do this in honor. And I'm just an outsider trying to live the art of construction to build better buildings. And it's hard, Tribe. It's really, really hard to construct buildings and just getting a door open. And then you have to make it work. And they've done it here. And what an honor for everybody stepping up to the plate. Go get involved. Have as much fun as possible. And raise the paddle. Crush it out there, Tribe.
You're not an outsider anymore, by the way. You are now a Trailhead member. You are an insider.
Awesome. Thanks for bringing me in, Matt. Crush it out there, Tribe.